Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. More veterans are dying of opioid overdoses. Over a six-year period, the rate jumped 65%, and it's not just because of prescription pain pills.
A number of important factors are contributing, and probably the biggest one of all is really the changes in the supply of opioids on the street.
That's later in the hour. But first, the nation watched as the Trump administration argued for putting a citizenship question on the census form. The Supreme Court seemed to settle the issue. No citizenship question unless the government has a better reason than it's given so far. That's an oversimplification of what happened, and the issue really has not been settled. Joining us now is a former chair of the Census Bureau Scientific Advisory Committee. Barbara Anderson is a University of Michigan demographer, and she joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So let's start from the beginning. What is the purpose of the census?
The purpose of the census is to give a complete enumeration of the population. In the Constitution, the purpose of the census is put forth as doing a total count of residents, in order to be able to allocate seats in the House of Representatives.
Groups challenge the government's idea of putting the citizenship question on the form. It went to court to stop that being added to the census form. What was their concern?
Their concern was it would be mainly used to discourage people who were non-citizens or people who lived in households with non-citizens from responding. In addition, when the Justice Department and the Higher Commerce Department first asked the Census Bureau about this, John Abbott, who's their chief scientist, at the request of the Census Bureau, wrote an extended report proposing four alternative ways to get the information about citizenship, which would be cheaper and easier and work better than putting it on the census. And the top method that he suggested was to compile it from existing administrative data, which is what the Trump administration finally came to, I guess, today or yesterday.
And we'll get to that in a little bit. But
I
wanted
to right back to what the Census Bureau had recommended over a year ago.
Right. So while the courts were looking at whether the citizenship question should be asked, the daughter of a political strategist who had died released some of his papers indicating a citizenship question was designed to give Republicans an advantage in reapportionment and redistricting. How would that work?
Well, there's two aspects of it. One thing that I have become convinced of, and many other demographers I know are convinced of, that the main purpose behind trying to put a citizenship question on the census was actually not to repress response, that the main purpose was to lay the first step in the groundwork to try to change the basis of allocation of seats in the House of Representatives from all citizens to voting age, from all residents to voting age citizens. And in 2016, the demographer Andrew Beveridge estimated that such a change would result in a loss of 5 to 6 Democratic members of the House of Representatives. Many groups have, in the past, have wanted to do this, but it's been commented many times that you can't do this if you don't have data, and the data really need to be from the census. The American Community Survey asks citizenship, but it's only asked of 2 or 3% of all households, and that doesn't cover everybody. And in the authorization for the American Community Survey, it explicitly says that American Community Survey results cannot be used for allocation of seats in the House of Representatives.
Now, as you mentioned, President Trump yesterday indicated his administration would gather the data they want on citizenship through other means, as was earlier recommended. Here's Attorney General William Barr.
That information will be used for countless purposes, as the president explained in his remarks today. For example, there is a current dispute over whether illegal aliens can be included for apportionment purposes. Depending on the resolution of that dispute, this data may be relevant to those considerations. We will be studying this issue.
What does that statement tell you?
Well, it tells me he probably doesn't know what he's talking about. that there is no suggestion that the data on citizens and non-citizens would in any way give you information about whether the non-citizens are in the United States legally or not.
You know, the president is accusing Democrats and others of trying to erase the very existence of citizenship in this country by insisting everyone be counted. What did you think of that statement?
Well, that the Constitution says everyone has to be counted.
But does that...
this isn't something that was dreamed up recently.
But does that denigrate somehow citizenship? I mean, I realize this is a political battle at this time, not a constitutional argument, but it seems like that would have a lot of impact on a lot of President Trump's base.
You mean they'd like it?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, President Trump says a variety of things sometimes that are shown to be not true. And I'm sure he says many things because he thinks his base will like it. And that's his prerogative. One thing that many people have been concerned about is that even with the citizenship question not on the census, that the publicity about it, and perhaps even after all this, and even after the administration said it's not going to be on the census, this doesn't mean that administration people won't keep on saying that it may be on, and this could be a tactic to suppress response.
Well, let me ask you this. Has the damage already been done by scaring non-citizens?
Well, that is one concern. But also, there are things that can be done and will be done to try to counter that. In the year 2000, in the months around the 2000 census, all immigration raids were called off in order to encourage participation in the census. In 2010, immigration raids were not called off around the time of the census. What was done, the Census Bureau recruited 250,000 community partners to try to encourage participation in the census. This is very important. To the most recent information I have, this time recruitment has been slow, I think partly because of these concerns. But when the community partners are convinced that citizenship will not be asked, there's a lot of concern with getting full counts in terms of allocation of funds to communities. And what I hope and expect will happen is that there will be a substantial upsurge in the enrollment of community partners for the 2020 census, which could at least to some extent mitigate whatever damage has already been done. Also, the Census Bureau in its planning for the 2020 census has taken up a number of innovations to try to make response to the 2020 census much, much easier. One thing they have done is every household is going to get a letter with an ID number on it for responding to the census. But the Census Bureau has developed a way for people to be able to respond by computer, by smartphone, without having that ID number, which they had to do a lot for this. So one thought is that these community meetings, there'd be a bank of computers at the front. They'd encourage people to step up and respond for their household, and they don't have to have their ID number. In the development of this, they did a lot to try to guard against double responses from the same household. But a lot of this stuff was implemented even before all this about citizenship, just to try to increase how easy it is for people to respond to the census. Another thing which is important to keep in mind is even with the best efforts of everybody, you are going to have some undercount. Over time, the undercount of the population has gone down. The undercount of the total population in 2010 was about zero, but that was because there was a slightly more than 2% undercount of the African-American population and about 0.5% overcount of the non-African-American population. That was totally due to overcount of females. And people think this is related to, as a result of people with two homes getting overcounted, being counted at both places.
Mm-hmm.
And the census is doing a lot also to try to eliminate that. But they have progressively made progress in decreasing the undercount. So what people are talking about is not there being no undercount, but rather they're talking about not having, because of the citizenship question, an enormous, enormous increase in the undercount, especially of Hispanic and African-American population.
So let me ask you the final quick question. What's the takeaway for all of this, for the census and for political representation and resources going to urban areas?
Well, for urban areas, certainly it's better to respond than not to respond, because so much money is allocated based on it. In 1980 and 1990, the city of Detroit sued the census because of the well-known undercount of minority ethnic groups, and they wanted to be able to use statistical estimation to adjust the census count. Detroit lost both of those suits, and they said it has to be a real count or something like a neighbor can we report on the residents in a neighboring dwelling unit without people actually having to talk to them. But one reason why the Supreme Court rejected Detroit's suit is that although it could be well shown that statistical estimation adjustment of a census would improve the count of almost all places, it could not show that there would not be some places where the count would be made worse by that. And that was part of the reason the Supreme Court rejected the found against the city of Detroit.
Barbara Anderson is a University of Michigan demographer and a former chair of the Census Bureau's Scientific Advisory Committee. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.